Once again, we are blessed to have an opportunity to study God's Word. And one of the things that we've been able to do, we have a work that we do at this assisted living place. Every week we go there and preach and have service there. And we have a bunch of new converts that have come out, four currently that have come out. And we also have a class that we meet on Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 2 o'clock p.m. at that same facility. And so when you have new converts, you have the opportunity to teach them how to read the Bible. And it's been very interesting, and it's actually have taken me back some. It's been a great help to me as well, because as I explained to them, and many of them, they know the Bible, and many of them have grown up in and around, you know, the church. But they never had, and this is what they're telling me, I've never looked at the Bible that way. I've never studied the Bible that way. And it's simple, because that's what we try to share with them. And the two things that I share with them is this, and we're gonna give an attempt today, and I think it might help us as well. The Bible is one big story being told. All the different names, all the different things that's happening, it's one big story being told. So they have that in their mind. Then the second thing that I remind them of is this. When we look in the Bible and look at the characters that the Bible has given us, these are real people who lived during real times, who had real problems that they had to overcome, just like us today. And so that makes it easier for them when we go back and start reading, because then they start to look at how these very, very famous characters that we read about, how they reacted. In other words, they see the good and the bad. And they see within these biblical characters human nature. And they're making comments like, well, that's still happening today. Yes, because man nature has not changed. And so it's been a great revelation to them to study the Bible that way. So I thought we'd give an attempt on today. As we look at our overall theme, God must be glorified. God must be glorified. And in our class, we're going to, you know, try to use, if we need a title, Ego is a No-Go. Ego is a No-Go. And we're going to look at two individuals, and we're going to break them down by their personalities, because that would tell you a lot about how they do what they do and really the reason why they do it. Because they're simply being who they are, just like you and I, right? We do the things we do because that's who we are. And if you've been around people any amount of time, you come to know them, and you can almost predict, in some cases, how they're going to react in certain situations because they are who they are. Well, these people that we're looking at are the same way. When we look at Aaron is was the brother of Moses. Moses, by far, was the most famous of the two. And then they had a sister by the name of Miriam. And we're going to look at Aaron and Miriam in light of ego and the troubles that they had and why they did what they did. And so we're going to try to break that down on today. You see, because ego is the mother of division. Ego is the mother of division. When you trace it all back, something got off rail because somebody allowed their egos to get ahead of them, or they didn't check it. When you really look at it, it's always personality. People don't get along today because of personalities. And if you never learn how to overcome that personality difference and to put it in the right place, then you'll struggle with certain people because personalities. But it's all ego when you come back to it in the end. You see, ego will cause division, as I mentioned in our first lesson, through jealousy, envy, contentions, murmuring. You can have indifference. All these things work together. It's leading to the same thing. What is going to cause division amongst God's people? And when you do not check your ego, it can lead to open rebellion. Now, here's the problem. You and I never want to be in a position where we face God Almighty in a rebellious state against Him. That's the last thing that you and I want. We don't want that. We don't want to stand before God and God say to us, why did you rebel against me? Well, God, it wasn't you that I rebelled against. It was that person who had that personality that I just couldn't get along with, you know, or your leader who had, you know, the way they do things, the way they say things. That was my problem. See, these things are small in the grand scheme of things when it comes to God. We need to be positioned ourselves to stand before God as much as we can. And we all gonna need His grace and mercy. Nobody can stand on their own merits. But we don't need to bring these things open rebellion against God and His will or His people and His leaders or His, you know, things that could have worked but didn't work because of my ego. We simply have to overcome that if we're going to do that. Well, Aaron and Miriam gives us an excellent opportunity to look at their personalities. So let's break it down a little bit, if you will, and look at the personality. Let's start with Miriam. You see, Miriam was the sister to Aaron and Moses. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 26, and the verse is 59, it says, the name of Aram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. Three individuals were born to this couple. That's what we want to keep in mind, because see, we're going to look down at the life of Moses and see, because we're trying to now, right now, establish the personality of Miriam. So when we look at Miriam, we know from the Bible in Exodus chapter 7 and the verses 7 that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. We know that. That's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 7 and the verse is 7. Let's look over there right quickly. Exodus chapter 7. And the first person to get there can read it. How about that?
And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be their prophet.
Okay. Is that chapter 7, verse 7?
Oh, that's verse 1.
That's okay. Okay, 80 and 83 at the time they were going to talk to Pharaoh. So we know from the Bible teaching that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. But we know that there's a sister that's involved, right? And we know as we begin to look at the life and what the Bible says, Moses was a beautiful child, the Bible says, and was left at the riverbank to escape the king's edict, because he was going to destroy every child that was 2 years or younger because they were simply growing too fast. And so to protect Moses, the Bible says that his mother put him at the riverbank, correct? And his sister, the Bible says, sat there and watched what would become of him. Let's see if we can find the scriptures for that. Let's see. Well, the only sister that we read about had to be Miriam. Now, I don't know what the scholars would teach, and I'm not here trying to prove he had another sister or not. We're just going by what the Bible says. The Bible says they had a sister. The Bible says that she sat at the river to see what would become of Aaron as he was shipped down the river. We know the story, right? We know what happened, that the daughter of Pharaoh found him, looked upon him. The child began to cry. She had compassion for the child. And as the story would go, she ended up having this child, adopting him. And Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Moses got the training and all the benefits of a prince. See how God works? This child was going down the river. Nobody knew what was going to happen. But yet the Bible says that she found him. She fell in love with him, all God's will. And then the child, the daughter, the sister who watched, asked her if she could, can I get a nurse to nurse him? And she said, yes, go, of your own kind, the Hebrews. And the Bible says that she went and got the child's mother. And that's who weaned? Moses, his own mother. So when we look at this sister, if indeed it is Miriam, we know that Miriam had to be old enough and big enough to observe. Am I right? She had to be old enough and big enough to speak to the daughter of Pharaoh to ask the question, can I go get a nurse for him? And she had to be old enough to go and to find a nurse to bring the mother back to the child. So based on my study, as I deduct all the information here, it looks like to me that Miriam was the oldest of the two. I can't read in the Bible where the Bible says Miriam was the older. I can't read that. But I'm just going by all the information that's given to me. It appears that she is the older of the two. Why? Because Moses is a baby. Aaron is 3 years older. Certainly he can't talk like she can. The Bible only mentions one other sister that came from them. Therefore, I will conclude that Miriam was the oldest of the three. You may agree, you may disagree, but that's my research that I came up with as I deduct out. Any questions or comments on that? Do you agree or disagree with that? Is that rational to think that way? Reasonable, right? Possibility. Leaving the door open that perhaps it can be otherwise. But based on what we have, the information that we're able to gather, that's the conclusion that I will come up with. Here's what else we know about Miriam. Turn to Exodus chapter 20, and the verse is 21. Someone read that, please. Okay. When we look at all that God would have, we will see that as we continue to look at Miriam, the sister, who we're saying probably was the oldest. You know, Miriam was the first prophetess that the Bible mentions. She's the very first one. So she'd been given a high position, if you will. She's a prophetess. In fact, when they came out and crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says it was Miriam that led the women in song. They were singing about the victory that God had wrought over the Egyptians on that day. When the Red Sea was split and they crossed over and God destroyed them, never for them to see them again that day. Well, Miriam led women. So she was a leader. She was a prophetess. More than likely, she was the oldest. These are the characteristics that we're looking in, the personality of Miriam as we see her. Now, let's do Aaron a little bit. Aaron was the brother, as we mentioned, 3 years older. We know from the Bible teachings when God was sending Moses to deliver the children from Israel, Moses had complained to God that he couldn't speak very well. And God said himself, here come your brother Aaron, he speaks well. So we know that Aaron is a great speaker, right? And God used him to assist Moses when they had the great exodus out of Egypt. Older brother of Moses, more than likely the younger brother of Miriam. So Aaron is in the middle. Aaron is a middle child, like me. Any middle children in here? Aren't we special? Those that are in the middle, you know. We're special because we're not the first and we're not the last. We're just somewhere in there, but we always seem to do the great things, right? Well, Aaron was in the middle, if we go by this. Aaron's in the middle of these two. Here's something else that we know about him. And when he said he was a spokesman, that's in Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Let's get there. And someone can read that for us. Exodus chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be unto thee, instead of a mountain, and thou shalt be to him instead of God.
Thank you very much for that reading. He is the spokesman, in part because he speaks well. God had already had a place and a work for Aaron to do, and so he was the spokesman for Moses, who was trying to really get out of his responsibility. He didn't want to do it. God already had an answer for him. Okay, so Aaron is older than Moses. He's a spokesman. He speaks well. Also in Exodus chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn there right quickly. Exodus 28, verse 1 and 2. We're going to find out something else about Aaron. Okay, so Aaron was the first high priest, right? Miriam was the first prophetess, and Aaron was the first high priest. These are highly elevated positions, am I right? Anybody could not be picked for these, but yet God chose them to have these first, the first prophetess, right? And now the first, we find in Aaron, the first high priest. Very significant positions that they will have. But here's what else we know about Aaron in Exodus chapter 32, if you'll turn there. Exodus chapter 32. And let's get someone to read verses 1 through 6, because we're going to find out that Aaron, though he was the first high priest, though he spoke well, though he was a spokesman for Moses, he was a very inconsistent leader. Look, remember now, we're looking at the good and the bad when we break things down. Everybody have their strength. Everybody have their weaknesses. And again, what has helped us at Deerwood is that these people have been able to see, if you will, the failures of God's leaders as mentioned in the Bible. And all of a sudden they say, well, if God's people can fail and miss the mark, and so there's room for me. You know, God forgave them and God lifted them back up. He'll do the same for me. And that's the exact thing that we're trying to get them to see. But over in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 6, someone read that for us, please. Aaron did a very bad thing. Aaron was, he fashioned this golden calf. And they said that this is the God that brought us out of Egypt, that split the Red Sea. You see, Aaron was responsible because Moses had gone up on Mount, right? And left him down there with the people. And when the people began to murmur, rumors, gossip, where is this Moses? We don't know if this Moses is still alive or not. What's going to become of us? See, they were very, as the Bible says, a very stiff-necked people, very rebellious. And so when they turned on Aaron and having these words with him, what are we going to do? We need a God. Moses, we don't know what has become of this Moses. And so the Bible says that Aaron allowed them to break off their gold earrings and all the things that they did, and he fashioned a golden calf to be their God. Aaron led a very sinful thing for these people, right? The man that was left in charge, the man that speaks well, the man that's supposed to be the spokesman, he did a very, very terrible thing. He showed no leadership, no resistance. He allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. So when we get to verse number 21, same chapter, starting at verse number 21, here's what the Bible says. Because now Moses is going to confront Aaron on this terrible thing that he allowed to happen. The Bible says, and Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. Verse 23, for they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Not only does he speak well, he lies well. That is unbelievable. To think that all you did, I just cast it in there, Moses. Don't get mad at me. You know these people. These are your people. When they turned on me, I just said, give me your gold. When I threw it in, this calf came out. Don't be hot at me. That's what happens when you fear the people. When a leader fears the people, he gives in to the people. The people can get anything they want. That's not leadership. Leadership has to stand up for what is right, no matter how difficult it may be. It's not easy. Never is it popular, but that's what a leader would do. Aaron failed to do that. So Aaron, you see, was a very inconsistent leader. And when it was time for him to step up and to do what was right, he did not. He cowered to the people. So Miriam was older, we're saying. Miriam was more outgoing. Miriam was accustomed to leading. It is she that led the women after they crossed the Red Sea with singing and dancing. It was her singing the song, you see, praising God. She was responsible for that. She was accustomed to leading, whereas Aaron was accustomed to being told what to do. He's a spokesman. We're looking at personalities now. That's what we're looking at. It's nothing wrong with Miriam. People are built the way they're built. Even though she's a female, right, during this patriarchal age, she still had great leadership. She's a prophetess. She was able to lead women. They followed her. She was a leader. And so when we began to look at her influence that she had on her brother, Aaron, who we now know speaks very well, but yet he's inconsistent and he will not stand up when he needs to stand up. See the personality that's in place here? In other words, Aaron is a little bit more reserved. Miriam is outgoing. She's a go-getter. She goes. That's just personalities. And think about it, she just may have been older. There's something to be said about older siblings. When you have an older sibling, it's hard to tell them to do anything. I don't care what age. It could be at 10. It could be at 60. You still little brother or little sister to me. Am I right? It's hard for them to do that. And when she had some years, I don't know, maybe 4 years, 5 years older than Aaron and Moses. It's quite possible that she took care of them. It's hard to give that up when you raise somebody and you basically put the diapers on them, right? For them to tell you what to do. But see, God has selected these three siblings to do a great work. And God just happened to make Moses, Moses. There's none like Moses. There's no prophet like Moses up until that time. That God, the Bible says, saw him face to face. That's how God spoke of him. He was near and dear to God. But you see, Aaron and Miriam, besides being given these really high elevated positions, allow their egos to get in the way. That's the problem, you see. Ego is the mother of division. So now let's look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And let's look at how the egos were able to get ahead of Aaron and Miriam. Numbers chapter 12. And I'll start reading at verse number 1. And I'm going to read through, all right? I'm going to read through verse number 16 very quickly so we can get the gist of what happened. Numbers chapter 12, starting at the first verse. The Bible says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Problem number one with Aaron and Miriam is that they're in Moses' business. They don't like who Moses married. Moses married a woman that would be a Cushite or Cush, basically darker in skin. She was from Ethiopia. And they didn't like that. That's the first problem that Aaron and Miriam had. Why is Moses marrying this woman, this outside woman, this strange woman? We don't like that. Let's read on. The Bible says in verse number 2, so they said, listen, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? See, this is when your ego is getting out of whack. They did not check it. They have watched what God had done with his great prophet Moses. Moses is the leader. Moses is the one that people look to. When the people look to see God, all they saw was Moses. And Moses represented God. When they complain against Moses, they complain against God. When they were contentious against Moses, they were contentious against God. Because Moses represented that to them. And now here we find Aaron and Miriam having their own little private conversation, saying to each other, have God indeed spoken to Moses only? In other words, aren't we just as important as Moses? It was not enough to be the first prophetess. It was not enough to be the first high priest. No, we want to be on the same level as Moses. Well, that was not God's plan. See, that's a problem. The Bible says in verse number 3, listen. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now we get a description of Moses. The Bible says he was just a humble man. You know, when you have a leader who is humble, that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. The Bible says at verse number 4, suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. I'm going to tell you right now, I would not have wanted to be one of three of them. When God says to come meet me at the meeting of the tabernacle, you don't know what God is getting ready to do. I don't know if Aaron had gray hair by then, but I can assure you after this meeting, Aaron had gray hair. This is intimidating. No man can stand before God, even in the best of situations, and have a conversation with God without being fearful. That's how powerful God is. When God calls you to have a meeting, that's the meeting of all meetings. God called them out and said, come to the tabernacle of meeting, and they came out. The Bible says in verse number 5, then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. If I were Moses, I'd be doing this. I'm thinking about me. The Bible says, then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. Listen. He is faithful in all of my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in the dark, saying, as he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You know what? Whenever God is asking a question, the last thing I want when I face God is for God to be asking me questions, because I have no answers. If God is asking a question, something is wrong. All I can say, God, forgive me. I'm not going to even try to answer it. There's no need to try to answer it. He already has the answers. And so when God says to them, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, God heard them. God heard the murmuring, the complaining, the egos that was not checked, the meeting after the meeting, the talk behind Moses' back, the backbiting, if you will. Hey, Aaron, did God not speak to us like Moses too? Yeah, I mean, we've been involved. We have positions. But you're not Moses. You can't do what Moses is going to do and have done. God has not chosen you for that. But yet God asked the question, why did you speak against my servant Moses? What do you think they can say? Go ahead. What can they say? Some people ask us questions and we can answer them, right? You know why? Because we don't fear them. Well, you may see it that way, but I see it this way. So you respond. Not so with God. Not so. There is no answer you can give. The Bible says in verse number 9, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. God got so angry, said what he said, God left. That would have scared me too. God just left. Said what he had to say, I'm done. And departed from them. The Bible says in verse number 10, and when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now, I don't need to explain to you during this time what leprosy meant. That's like the worst thing you can get. You're castigated, you're separated. People run from you. When you come down the road, people say, leopard, leopard, leopard. It was very contagious. Limbs begin to fall off. Your skin is changes. Many of those people starved to death. Family can no longer be with you. It is a curse that is placed on you that is the worst thing that can possibly happen. Well, the Bible says that Miriam became white as snow, instantly. And the Bible says in verse number 11, so Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and which we have sinned. And Moses said to, excuse me, and Aaron said to who? To Moses. He didn't even go to God. God has departed. God is angry. In other words, you can't even talk to God. But I can talk to the man of God. So the plea began to go to Moses. Moses, Moses, please. Oh, my Lord, do not lay this sin on us. We were foolish. We allowed our egos to go unchecked. We were out of control. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against you, Moses. Don't lay this on us. Please, Moses. In other words, speak to God on behalf of Miriam and myself. The very man that you tried to undermine is the very man you have to turn to now to ask for help. Right? Because their egos were not checked. They wanted to be more than what God intended for them to be. You know, that's the problem with ego. People have egos. You know, that's the problem, right? They want to be more than what they are. They just want to be more. Not satisfied with what who they are. Right? I want to be more. I want to be bigger. I want to be the greatest. I want to be the, what they call, the GOAT. The greatest of all time. Right? It's not enough to be good. I want to be great. No, I want to be the greatest. That's ego. It will always lead to a downfall. The Bible says in verse number 12, he says, please do not let her be as one dead. See, that's what it's like. You're like, it's like you're the living dead when you're a leopard. That's it. You're alive, but you wish you were dead. Because that's how you were treated. Whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So the Bible says, remember Moses, verse number 13. What kind of man is Moses? Humble. Forgiving. Right? You all were against me. You spoke against me. Now you are pleading to me to help you. This shows you the character of the man Moses as well. The Bible says in verse number 13, so Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. It's a good thing to associate yourself with people who has a relationship with God. That's why we go to certain people and ask them to pray for us, because we believe that they're living a life that God will hear them. Right? That's why we go to certain people. That's why you turn to your elders. You turn to your elders to say, pray for me. Why? Because they should be living a life that is connected to God directly. In other words, they can get a prayer through. I remember we were at Arlington many years ago, and we pray as you do at the end, pray for people at the end of service, sometimes before we do that. And so we were there, and we allowed the deacons to pray. And that's fine. Deacons are very fine men. Yes, they can get a prayer through. It's wonderful. But then some of our members came in and said, no, we love our deacons, but we don't want our deacons praying for us. We want our elders praying for us. And that has been a tradition now for, I know, well over 10 years. That if Brother Bill and I are there, we're up there praying for the people. Why? That's what the people ask for. We tried it the other way, but that's what they asked for. No, we want our elders to pray for us. And so we did that. Moses was a man, in spite of being wronged, prayed to God and asked God to heal his sister Miriam. The Bible says in verse number 14, let me show you how angry God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. Thank God that God has this relationship with Moses, that he will hear Moses, that he would not only hear Moses, but he would grant Moses his prayer. Heal her, Lord. Heal Miriam. Yes, she has sinned. Heal her. And you heard what God just said. If her father spit in her face, wouldn't she be shamed for 7 days? Let her stay out the camp for 7 days as a leper, then come back and receive her once again. And the Bible says this in verse 15. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought back in again. In other words, she stopped progress, did she not? They're traveling on their way to the promised land. But because of her and Aaron's foolishness, because of their egos, now all of a sudden camp got to shut down for 7 days until she can be received again. The Bible says at 16, and afterwards the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. All right. Let's make some points. And I welcome your comments as well. Any comments that you want to make. God does not like us to have unchecked egos. You agree or disagree? It is the mother of division. That's what the series is about all today, our egos, and how it can disrupt God's work, just as it did with them traveling to a place where they had to be. 7 days they're now delayed because of Miriam and Aaron's egos. Progress cannot go. God does not like to be told who his leaders are. You agree or disagree? Don't tell God how to do his business. You know, we get in a lot of trouble in that, even in the church, trying to tell God how to do his business. When God tells us what to do, we come along and say, well, we got a better way. We'll do it this way. That's ego. How many times have you gone to a church of Christ, and you get there and things are being said, how things are being done, and it's just one brother, they say they don't have elders, one brother who always seemed to get his way. I mean, he might have been there, he may have put the last, block on the building. He may be a rich man. He has influence. And whatever he seemed to say goes. And people start making reference like, well, it's not the church of Christ, it's the church of this brother. Because, see, he get to make all the decisions and everybody follows him. And nobody goes against him. And some brothers in the church, and I've heard it broke my heart, whether it's a leader, a brother like that, or even some preachers, because sometimes we don't have elders, preachers become that person. Am I right? And the preacher made comments like, you're not going to stand in my pulpit. Sir, that's not your pulpit. That's the Lord's pulpit. But that's the way they speak. I get to say who speak and who doesn't. And that's one man leading the show. That's never good. That's why it's important to be in the a congregation that has elders. Because God is going to hold those elders responsible for all that has happened. You have to be careful and trying to tell God who his leaders are. You see, that's what happened with Aaron and Miriam. They were trying to tell God who the leaders are. God, it's not just Moses. What do you mean? You always let Moses do everything. Why Moses got to be the central figure? Why all eyes have to be on Moses? Did God not speak to me and you also? Why can't we be important? Again, never mind the elevated positions that they've had already. God has given them to be first. That's not good enough. No, we want to be the same as Moses. Be careful in trying to tell God who his leaders are. God knows exactly who he wants to lead. Am I right? It's just like when the Bible says that an elder has to be the husband of one wife. That's a male, am I right? Now, anybody comes along and say, well, why can't a woman be, because you didn't read your Bible, that's why. She doesn't qualify. Don't get mad at me, take it up with God. God said that. And so that's how we have to operate, right? Well, why can't women just, lead in the service on the table? Well, she's not to usurp authority over man. God said that. Not me. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with God. Am I right? So we have to understand. Okay, I got 5 minutes. God does not like murmuring and complaining. God does not like his chosen leaders to be conspired against. They attacked Moses. God was not pleased with that. God does not want them to be against his leaders. God will hold you accountable for being against his leaders. Why? Because God put them in place. God chooses who he wants to be. Right? Who am I? Ego. To come and tell God this person shouldn't be there. That's ego. Not good. Now here's the thing I want to get to. God is just, is he not? And God punished people according to the degree of their sins. I got a question for you. And I realize, and I will openly admit that I'm speculating now. But when we look at Numbers chapter 12, which we just read, why did God strike Miriam with leprosy and not Aaron?
I think it's because, just like with Eve, it might be that she, being the older, and Aaron, again, being the individual who could be pushed into whatever, like what happened with the calf, where he was not punished. She was punished because she was the leader of the assault against God.
If this was vacation Bible school and I was Victor, I'd throw him one of those prizes, you know, like Victor does. That is absolutely right. That's my conclusion. Miriam was the outgoing one. Miriam was the leader. Aaron was one to easily be talked into things. He didn't stand up. So God chose, now it could be a different reason. This just one. We're speculating, right? We're asking a question. We're examining things. Why was she struck and Aaron wasn't? Well, another reason, because Aaron was the high priest. And the high priest had to be clean, right? Had to be clean. And it might have been a problem. That's so we can consider that as well. And that's a valid one. Aaron has to be, because when you had leprosy and you came back, you had to present yourself to the priest. We saw that all throughout times, right? To be clean again. So that might be a reason as well. But make no mistake about it. When we look at personalities and we break them down, we know who was the outspoken one. That was Miriam. We know who was the leader. We know who was probably the oldest. Am I right? We know, and God, who knows best, again, it's God's business, he chose to make her the leper. Now, if you are a man, Moses or Aaron, and you see your sister struck with leprosy, naturally that would affect you because we protect our mothers and wives and sisters and so forth, right? So it cut them to the heart. And immediately Aaron said, oh, Lord, Moses, please pray to God that this don't happen. We were foolish. Our egos was unchecked. Please, Moses, speak to God. So when I looked at it and began to speculate, just asked the question, why was Miriam struck and Aaron not? And again, it could very well be because he was the high priest, or going to be, and had to remain clean. That's a valid point. But I'm not going to dismiss for one moment Miriam's role. And what I'm saying is Miriam kind of led this based on what I'm reading, information I'm adding up. She's the one with the personality that would do such a thing. Perhaps it was her that said to Aaron, did God not speak to us like he speak to Moses? And Aaron being who he is, well, yeah, he spoke to us and easily can be influenced and led, went along with it. We don't know the answer to that. Maybe one day when we go to the other side, we can find the answer. But isn't it interesting when you look at the personalities of people? And that's what helps us with the Bible when you study it. Look at these people. They're real people who have real problems. Many times we see their highs and we hold on to their highs, but they had lows too. And we can learn something both from their highs and their lows because they're people just like you and I. Man has not changed. He has not changed very much.
Brother,
yes.
One thing that we find later is that the role of Moses, where Aaron saw that and called him Lord,
Yep.
We should elevate, even though they are like us, elevate our elders.
Yep.
Because their deeds, as scriptures teach us, are looked at double.
Yep.
So their errors are looked at double, as was Moses.
Yep.
Where his ego caused him to strike instead of talk.
Yeah, but stop right there, Dutch, because you're not getting to my next lesson, okay? Don't stop right there. So you let the people hear, you know. No, great point. Everything you say is absolutely right. And my last point is, be very careful when you speak against God's leaders.
Amen.
And if you speak against them, you better be sure what you're talking about. Because as God says, why didn't you fear speaking against my leader, Moses?
Yes.
Be very careful when you speak against God's leaders. To God be the glory. Amen.